Good morning. Thank you for your welcome. I always very much enjoy coming and being part of the worship with you. The Lord is risen. You don't seem too sure. We're going to be thinking about doubt, and you sounded quite doubtful that the Lord has risen. Let me ask you a few questions. How much faith do you need to have to know that you have enough faith? Let me put it this way. How certain about your faith do you need to be certain about your faith? Good questions, huh? Imagine if there was a line going from here all the way through the church, and here is minus 10, faithless. And up there, where Jasmine and Audrey are, 100% plus 10 faithful, where would you put yourself on that line? From faithless to full of faith. Where would you put yourself? I'm not going to make you do it, but imagine in your mind, would you be up here with me, no faith, or up there full of faith? Let me get rid of my phone. I think the truth is that most of you would be somewhere near the middle, right? We're all somewhere on a journey of faith. Now, you would have thought, you would have thought that on the first Easter Sunday, the day that Jesus rose from the dead, that all of the disciples would have got up and put themselves here, plus 10 of faith, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? You would have thought, wouldn't you? They had spent 3 years walking closely with Jesus. They'd been learning with him. They'd been learning from him. They'd done some remarkable, miraculous things with him. He'd been teaching them that he was going to die for them, that he would raise to life. He had told them very clearly about all of this. So on the day of resurrection, you'd have thought that there would have been hope and joy and faith filling the air. You would have thought there would have been a place where there was faith-filled disciples filling Jerusalem with faith. That's a tongue twister, I think. Let's say that all together. Faith-filled disciples filling Jerusalem with faith. But of course, that's not what we find at all when we look at the Gospels. The one thing that is like in the air is doubt. It's actually like doubt was in the atmosphere on that first Resurrection Sunday. If you remember, there was Mary Magdalene. Thought about her last week. She was the first one to get to the tomb. She found it empty. And her immediate reaction was, somebody's taken the body. She wasn't looking for a resurrected Jesus. She was looking for a dead Jesus. And then she didn't recognize Jesus. She thought he was the gardener. And then when he spoke her name, beautiful, isn't it? He just said, Mary. And she recognized him. And she was full of joy. But first there was unbelief before there was belief. And then full of joy, remember, she ran off to tell all the disciples. And what was their reaction? Let's read this together. It's hardly the most faith-filled statement. Ready? They did not believe her because her words seemed to them like nonsense. You can imagine the men thinking this. There goes Mary again. Excitable Mary. Emotional Mary. Hallucinating Mary. Don't talk such nonsense, Mary. And then in that evening, we read how the disciples are all huddled away in fear. They're hiding. The doors are bolted shut. The curtains are drawn tightly. The shutters are closed across the windows. uncertainty, fear, and doubt filled that room, and not faith. And then Jesus came to them. You see, nothing can keep Jesus out. And he wonderfully gave them his peace. And then joy and hope and faith began to rise up with them. I don't think still they were plus 10, but faith was rising within them. And then as we go on with the story, not all were there that evening. Who was missing? Thomas. Thomas was missing. I think you did a drama last week, didn't you? So Thomas was missing. Talk about missing something important. Talk about being in the wrong place at the wrong time. That was Thomas. And you can imagine the other disciples saying to him, Thomas, you should have been there last night. It was amazing. We've seen the Lord Jesus. Jesus is risen. He's come to us. He is alive. Wow, you would never believe it, Thomas. And Thomas says, too right, I don't believe it. It's his reaction, isn't it? He said, no, I don't believe. Let's read this together. Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Never believe. Wow. There's a statement. And from this, Thomas got his famous title, Doubting Thomas. But he's not the only one who was doubting. There are many, many instances in the scriptures where disciples doubt. And I love the Bible because of this, because it's so honest and real about how the disciples really felt. And one striking example, I can tell others, but one striking example is in Matthew 28. This is the end of Matthew's gospel after many, many resurrection appearances. Jesus goes to what we call the Mount of Ascension. He's going to ascend to his Father. And from there, he gives his great farewell sermon. And can you remember? That's when he told the disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. A motivational sermon, if there ever was one. And then it says, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Even at that point, they were doubting. You see, Thomas was not the only doubting one. And neither are you. Neither are you. Doubt and questions about our faith is something all of us experience in our Christian journey, in our journey plus 10 to minus 10. And the reality is there are times in life when we sort of walk up and down that line in different places of faith. This is a reality. But it's a reality that the Lord teaches us through and grows us through. Today I want us to think about doubt, but we're thinking positively about how we can learn from Thomas's story about how we might grow. And so my title this morning is Doubt, the Faith Builder. Doubt, the Faith Builder. And I just want to think about a number of ways where we can build faith. A bit like building blocks, if you like. So I've got a number of them. The first one is this. So first of all, own your doubt. It does not help us to hide our doubts or when questions arise to us to pretend they're not there like an ostrich sticking its head in the ground. I love that picture. We do this sometimes. We stick our head in the ground, in the sand, and pretend things are not how they really are. We do have doubts. We do have questions. We can own them. The Bible is not afraid of owning doubts and questions, so why should we be afraid of owning our doubts and our questions? And you see, it's always good to be honest with God and honest with ourselves. And this is why we learn so much from Thomas. I see somebody who is honest and who doesn't blindly follow He doesn't blindly accept faith without question. His faith is an honest and open one. Thomas is somebody who thinks and questions and ponders. So that's my second building block. Ask questions. Thomas was great at questions. We find in one place in John chapter 14, actually a well-known part of Scripture, Jesus was teaching the disciples about how he was going to be leaving them, that he's going to prepare a place for them, can you remember, in his Father's house. And he said to them, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Wonderful, inspirational words. But Thomas scratched his head and he thought, Jesus, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? It's a great question. Thomas loved to ask questions. When he didn't understand something, he asked. He was not afraid to ask Jesus questions. None of the others had the courage to put their hand up and say, hey, Jesus, don't understand. Thomas did. And actually, as he's asking his questions, he's exercising his faith. Faith was being built. Faith builds within us. In John chapter 20, the passage we're thinking about today, after the resurrection, Thomas didn't just believe the disciples because they said so. No matter how excitedly the disciples told him about the risen Jesus, Thomas just wasn't going to go along with the crowd. Okay, it must be true because you said so. Thomas wanted to see and touch and to know for himself. You see, second-hand faith was not good enough for Thomas. He wanted first-hand faith. So owning doubt builds our faith. Asking questions builds our faith. And this leads us deeper. And that's my next... What happened? Ask questions. And my next one is investigate faith. In other words, probe. Test, dig deep. You see, we can have questions about God and Jesus. We can have questions about how can I be sure I am a Christian? We can ask, is Jesus really the only way to God the Father? How do I know that the Bible is true today? And my answer to you there is, come to the Alpha Course. Although we nearly finished the Alpha Course, so come to the next Alpha Course. And there you can ask all of your questions. The whole point of Alpha is to have a place to ask questions, to build faith, to search and to seek. We can have ethical questions. We can ask questions like, how can I live the life that Jesus wants me to? What about sexuality? What about pornography? What about addictions? What about integrity and truth? Vital, important, primary, essential questions that we should grapple with. So get connected in a connect group, in a small group. Share deeply with others. Maybe even get into a mentoring relationship with an older Christian. Get accountable to somebody somewhere. Quiz them about their life and their faith. My next building block, I want to call it struggle deeply. Wrestle with God over the important stuff. Why is there so much suffering in the world? What about evil? What about unjust systems? What about the abuse of power? What can I do? Why don't you read up about the early Christians? Find out what it was like to be persecuted for your faith. Why don't you find out more about your Anglican roots and the martyrs of the Anglican Church? Why don't you visit somewhere where there is injustice and suffering, and I mean real suffering, and be impacted by the strength of faith that people have who have so little? Dig deeply, struggle deeply. We can have personal questions like, why did I get this illness? Why did my loved one die? Why is my family having all these struggles and troubles? And I just want to say, don't bury those sort of questions, but take them to the Lord and wrestle with Him through those difficulties. It's a building block of faith. We can have life purpose questions. Does my life make a difference for the kingdom of God? How could God possibly use me? So learn to pray and reflect deeply and seek God for His calling on your life. I think next month I'm here and I'm going to be sharing with you how God called me to ordain ministry. You see, all of these sort of questions help us to dig deeper into God. And so our faith is then built. And it's when we genuinely ask questions, it's when we struggle with the doubts that we really do have, it actually shows that we're not apathetic towards God, but that we want our faith to make a difference. We want to make a difference in the world. You see, admitting our doubts and struggling with our questions actually means we care. So the more you struggle and the more you doubt, actually the more you can care passionately. Do you see that? Don't run away. Embrace them. My next one is beware proofs. There's a negative side to doubts that we just need to take a little bit of care of. Because sometimes, like Thomas, we want proof. And we can't always have it. But often we say, if only I saw something like a sign in the sky. If only God was to write, yoo-hoo, I am here. You can trust me. Or if only God did this for me. If only God did that for me. Then I would be certain. Often we like God to work miracles for us, so that we might believe. But it's not the way that it works. Someone put it this way. I don't think it's on my screen. No, it's not. How do I go backwards? Somebody put it this way. For the truly faithful, no miracle is necessary. For those who doubt, no miracle is sufficient. You see, miracles prove nothing. In fact, if you think about it, Jesus went about doing miracles all through his ministry. And whenever he called someone to follow, they usually went that direction instead of following in this direction. Miracles are signs of the kingdom of God breaking in to the here and the present. They are not signs for us necessarily to believe and to trust. Many disciples deserted when called to deep faith. Miracle does not prove God. Only trust proves God. And the only proof that you'll ever have will be in your heart. And Jesus said this to Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed." And this is us. We have not seen the physical resurrected Jesus and touched the wounds in his hands and in his side. Yet we believe by faith. So my next building block is to learn trust. Thomas most certainly doubted, but the Lord didn't leave him in his doubt. He didn't leave him in his unbelief. Eventually, and it's in verse 27, our passage, Jesus said to Thomas, stop doubting and believe. In other words, start trusting. In the Old Testament, there's a book of the Bible called Job. You probably know about this. I won't get you put your hand up to say whether you've read it. But it's 38 chapters of Job complaining and questioning God. And never once in 38 chapters did God say, stop. Do not ask questions. Be quiet. Suffer in silence. But eventually, when all of Job's questions had come out, God told Job to stop, be quiet, and believe. But it's not always that easy. There's once a guy who was walking along and he fell off a cliff down to the sea. And as he's falling down, there was a straggly branch and he grabbed onto the branch and he held on there. And he's hanging and hanging there. And hundreds of feet below are the rocks and the water. And he's holding on and he's terrified. And so he looks up to heaven and he says, is anybody there? And a voice came, I am the Lord your God, trust me. And he was shocked. And so he said back, what do I do? And the voice said, let go and trust me. And he took a gulp and he looked down and then he looked up again and he said, is anybody else there? Sometimes the only way is to let go and trust. And that's what Thomas eventually had to do. And as he did that, the Lord came to him. So let's read this part of the scripture. Let's read this together. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. There are times when God says to us, move on from your unbelief and believe. Stop doubting. It's time to experience the power of faith. J. John, one of British evangelists, in fact, he's going to be the preacher next year at the Celebration of Hope. He used to say this, well, still says it. Let's say this together. Feed your faith and your doubts will starve to death. It's good that, isn't it? Feed your faith and your doubts will starve to death. This is about letting go and trusting the faithfulness of God. And that's where Thomas had to come to. So my next building block, I call it the posture of worship. This is where Thomas simply said, my Lord and my God. That was his only response when Jesus came to him. And this is the posture of worship. And worship is not a physical thing. Worship is not kneeling or standing with our arms raised or anything like that. Worship's actually an inner thing, and I think you know this. It's a thing of the heart. It's a thing of the mind. It's an inward bowing before God, who is Lord. He is the Lord of our doubts. He is the Lord of our questions. He is the Lord of our life. Worship is the place of trust. And this is where Thomas came to. The place of confession and surrender. So here Thomas surrenders his doubts. He lays down his questions. He lays down his anxieties, his apprehensions, his concerns. Because here is the Lord of life who knows it all. And you know, we can do the same. We have the same God. And then my final block. I call them faith spectacles. Couldn't think of a better phrase. I'm thinking about our perspective of faith. Because it's about how we focus on things. It's about where we put the focus. Sometimes we look at things out of focus. Do you see what I mean? And faith is about getting our focus right. And so our doubts and our concerns and our questions are focused rightly when we look to Jesus. Now, I wonder if Thomas, after that amazing evening that he had with Jesus, when he saw them, whether he stopped having questions or doubts. I don't think he did. I think he was Thomas, part of who he was. He was a thinker, a ponderer, a questioner. I think he remained Thomas. But what he learned to do was knew where to focus his faith, where to put his gaze. And this is how the Bible teaches us. I've got three scriptures for us to say together. This is the first one. Let's say it together. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess. We fix our minds on him. This one. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the one to whom we look. And this one. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. We can't see faith, but we can fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the one that we look to. It's his perspective that we look for. And this is what we see Thomas doing. And he moved from being doubting Thomas to Thomas the Apostle. Thomas was the first missionary to Iran, then to India. And he went out proclaiming Christ is risen with courage and conviction in the most difficult of all places. And Thomas became Thomas the Confessor of Faith. So let me very quickly draw this together, so we can just respond with some prayer. So we all will have doubts, but doubts help to build our faith. And so we own our doubts. You are not the only one that has doubted, is doubting, and will doubt. Doubts are part of faith. Ask questions. Jesus said, ask and seek so you might find. Ask questions. Investigate faith and struggle deeply. You know, God can cope with our questions. He can. God doesn't fall apart because you worry about something and have a question. God can cope with your questions. The truth of Jesus will stand up to some scrutiny. It's truth. Engage your heart, engage your passion, and engage your mind in your faith. And beware of proofs. Do not look at externals, but look at the internals. Learn to trust. Believe in the goodness of God. Rest in his grace and his mercy. Take the posture of worship. He is Lord. He is sovereign. He is God. And put on your faith spectacles. Keep things in the right perspective. Look to Jesus. Let's do that now. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to take a moment in the quiet just to bring to you our doubts and our questions and uncertainties, even our concerns. And just hold those things in your heart and your mind right now. And Lord, we want to pray along with that man who came to Jesus with his son who had an unclean spirit and said, Lord, I believe, but help me to overcome my unbelief. Lord, many of us struggle in this place of faith and unbelief. We struggle with highs and lows maybe. And so, Lord, we confess them to you now and we lay them at your feet and we bow down and submit ourselves to your lordship. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to lift our heads and fix our eyes upon you, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And Lord Jesus, we want to now to take up faith wherever we are between minus 10 and plus 10 and ask that you would build faith within us. And Lord, we pray that you would give us the courage to confess Christ crucified. Lord Jesus, come amongst us as you did that first Easter Sunday. And Lord, would you come amongst us and breathe your peace upon us. And may your peace cast out fear. And may your peace bring hope and resurrection life to us. Jesus, come and fill us with the Holy Spirit. Fill us with Easter resurrection hope. And Lord, help us to have honest faith before you and surrender all that we have to you.